This is Stories from the Red Zone, Tips and Tactics, and Gear Review. And you are listening to the Archery Maniacs Podcast. Lookout for our November sale. If you spend $50, no matter how, as long as it totals up to $50, we're going to give you a free Yeti. Head on over to www.archerymaniacs.com to check that out. Our live podcast is every Wednesday. If you got a question, feel free to jump on live and submit the question there. Send it to us in direct message or click the Got a Question button on our website and submit it that way. We really appreciate your participation and your questions and look forward to helping out any way that we can. Do you suffer from target panic? Does buck fever have you shaking in your boots at the moment of truth? Well, check out Iron Mine Hunting. Joel Turner's complete controlled process shooting program will take you and your shooting skills to the next level. Decide to succeed with Iron Mine Hunting. Joel offers online courses as well as in-person seminars. Check it out at www.ironminehunting.com. Now, let's get into the show. What I would like to talk about in this one is I would like to cover some of the gear that you use, because I saw one of your posts about utilizing a goose down quilt.
Oh yeah, dude.
And you know, I've never honestly thought of that. So yeah. When I saw that post, I was like, man, that's a lot different than I would ever do. You know,
dude, it's a game changer, like 100%.
So that's kind of what I would like to discuss a little bit about your gear, you know. And I also saw a post about a burner that you had.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and it wasn't your jet boil, because it was this one right here.
Optimus Crux.
Yep, that one. Yep, that one right there. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture that you posted. Looks pretty sweet. Looks super lightweight.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've run a jet boil for like the past 2-3 years, something like that. Super, super efficient piece of gear.
Right.
But do you know the little valve that you open, you know, to let the fuel start coming out?
Yeah. Well, okay. Kind of a big tangent, but I just got to tell this story, because
go ahead.
We were about ready to cook dinner in Idaho on a scouting trip. I had my 4-year-old son and my buddy Tyler, and my son walked in there like 5 miles with us. Like, the kid was rocking it.
That's awesome.
And we're like, we're going to have dinner. And my buddy Tyler, he's the one that brought the stove, because I carried the tent, right? And he like pulled out the stove, and the jet boil top tumbles down the mountain, and I'm like looking down this basically straight cliff, and I'm like, son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. So I had to go down there and get it. Oh, no. But anyways, I just had to tell that real quick. Your turn.
so that little valve right there, mine's been acting funny.
Okay.
Like I'll go to turn it and the fuel will come out, and then if I tap it a little bit, it'll stop. So like I just started getting like iffy about bringing it out, you know. Like, I don't want to. I mean, that's my dinner. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, you get in there more than 3 miles. You know, it's not just a 2-hour walk back to the truck.
Yeah,
like, you're in there a ways. Like, that's important.
Yeah. So I just didn't want to. And like right now, dude, it still works, but like I have to like play with the lever to, you know what I mean, to get it to like disperse the fuel well. So I started looking into going a little bit lighter and more compact, because if anyone has a jet boil, they know that that thing is not like the smallest piece of equipment that you. I mean, seriously, like it's as big, it's bigger than my pad, my sleeping pad. So I started looking at like more just like straight, I don't know, like just like ultralight stoves, you know, like not like a cup system, you know?
Yep.
So I kept seeing this Optimus Crux in stores and stuff, and my buddy told me about it, and I was like, you know what, and it's not that bad, like, price-wise, so I'm like, okay, you know, I'll try it out. I've been using it for, I don't know, like, the past couple months, and it's been a great little stove. I will say the one downfall that it has is wind. It's not that good in the wind. You can get water to boil in about 3 minutes normally.
Okay.
With wind, it's going to take like 10. So.
Gotcha.
So I know that they sell like they sell a wind breaker for it that you can get. I don't know how efficient it is. I haven't tried it. So like. So that is one thing that the jet boil has over that is. The jet boil is like, I mean, just it doesn't matter. You know, you just like turn it on and that is done. So and then it also you got to kind of watch so you don't tip it over, because it is just like a standard stove that sits on top of the fuel canister with a pot. So the pot can fall off of the stove.
Gotcha.
If you're not careful, but I mean, as far as like. Besides the wind thing, it's been great, you know. I think it comes in, it's under a pound, okay? Woo! But with the whole system, it's 1 pound. So that's it comes with you have a 16-ounce cup, and then it comes with a smaller cup for like if you want to make coffee or something. Mm-hmm. So that whole package with the fuel canister and the stove is a pound.
Wow, that's pretty light.
So what I did was just this past spring in April, I backpacked in solo to Bear Hunt, and it was a perfect opportunity for me to test the stove out. So I ditched the small cup. And just didn't even bring it because I was up there overnight. I'm just like, I'm just making dinner. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to like, sometimes I like as much of a sin as it is, I don't know if you're a coffee drinker, but like, dude, sometimes I just don't want to make coffee. Like I'll do like Wilderness Athlete in the morning, like Energy and Focus or something like that real quick. And I'm out. I just don't want to have to do stuff. So, it's under a pound, man, without that little cup, without the little one.
Yeah, no, and I'm just looking at some of your pictures, and it looks like the valve itself is, because my jet boil, the little, it basically looks like a paperclip that hooks into the valve. I lost that thing.
I actually watched your review on your jet boil, and I was laughing because I saw that pin, like, you didn't have that, and I'm like,
right?
More freaking valve issues, man. Like,
yes, it is a valve issue. I was like, what the fuck? Oh, man. I was doing so good.
You're doing so good. I got you fired up, dude. I'm sorry.
You did, which is cool. That's the kind of guest I like. But I just was like, what the heck, man? You know, I lost this damn thing. Now what am I going to do? And yeah. It just kind of – it kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you.
Sure.
So, okay, so you got a little bit lighter stove that kind of sucks in the wind because it doesn't have – You know, the jet boil has whatever the hell that thing's called that is over the flame. I'm not sure. Flame. It's basically like a flame arrester.
Yeah.
Where
it's a flux ring or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
But you're definitely way lighter for sure.
Yeah.
So what about food? I mean, are you taking like mountain houses generally, or?
I'm really excited to talk about this.
I am too, because I'm looking at your pictures and I kind of know probably more than the guests do what your answer is going to be, but
yeah.
I want to know, man.
Okay, so before I get to dinner, I'll just kind of I'll go through what I've done for a day, because I think a lot of people, like, as simple as this stuff is, I think that we especially beginners have a tendency to overcomplicate this stuff. And so with food, I'm pretty boring. In the morning, I'll do like Belvita, those breakfast biscuits, and Justin's almond butter.
Okay.
Super simple. I don't have to heat up any water. You just open the package, put the butter on the biscuits, and eat, and then I'm hunting. So after that, I'll do. After that, it's just like protein bars. I'll do like 2 protein bars. And then for lunch, I'll do like your classic bagel with peanut butter and honey with a protein bar. After that, I'll do like maybe trail mix and a protein bar. And then for dinner, the crown jewel, I used to do Mountain House all the time. And if you do any extended like backpack hunts, you know that you're probably going to spend in the realm of $100 just for dinner.
And you kind of get bent over the barrel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you don't have a choice. It's like, and dude, I was never one of those guys that didn't like Mountain House. Like, Mountain House was something I looked forward to every night.
Right.
Because of just all the just dry stuff I was eating the rest of the day, so it was like a treat, you know? Or like, you're just so depleted after hunting all day, like just coming back and having a nice hot meal, especially when it's cold out, is just really refreshing.
Yeah.
So I used to do the Mountain House thing, but I recently heard from a fellow hunter about dehydrating your own meals. So I started looking into this a lot, because I'm thinking, I'm like, dang, dude, like I could have like homemade whatever, you know, up there instead of whatever the hell is in a Mountain House bag. Okay. Like, so dude, I bought a dehydrator, an Excalibur 5 tray dehydrator, and, cooked up some bear chili.
Bear chili sounds delicious.
Yeah, dude. Cooked up some bear chili in my crock pot, dehydrated that. And then once it's dehydrated, basically each tray is like a meal. That's kind of how it works with the dehydrator, at least the one I got.
Okay.
So you put that – I put that in a Ziploc. Then put the Ziploc in a vacuum seal bag, okay, and leave the Ziploc open a little bit, and then vac seal it. And it like leaving the Ziploc open will get the air out of the Ziploc as well, instead of leaving the air in it, but only vacuum sealing the vac seal bag. and there you have it, man. Like, so there's your dehydrated dinner, your homemade bear chili, and it weighs nothing. It's so light, and it's also way smaller.
Yeah.
So I was sitting out there hunting bear.
Eating bear.
Eating bear chili while I'm glassing for bears, dude. It was like just epic. So, yeah, and to give people an idea, like if you have game meat in your freezer and stuff, obviously like you don't have to worry about buying meat, okay? I can make a crock pot full of chili for under $10. And
right?
I'll get like 5 to 6 meals out of that. So, I mean, you'd like do the math, like $10 a night for Mountain House or dollars, maybe less, each night for your own meal, your homemade meal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah. When you take your chili and you put it on the dehydrator, you know, because basically the only thing I've used a dehydrator for is like fruit and jerky. So okay. Do you like put it on a pan in the dehydrator? Or okay. How does that work?
They sell like parchment that goes on the trays. So
okay,
it's like a
okay.
Yeah, so it's like a like almost, it's not exactly like this, but it's kind of like a wax paper that okay. you put down, and you just like literally just like pour the chili onto that, so it doesn't I know what you're saying, like so it doesn't go through the grill of the tray, and just spread it out really thin, and you just do that on each tray, put it in there, and let it go for, I did mine for like, I think it was like 9 hours or something, until it's all dried out, and scrape it up off the parchment and put it in the Ziploc, and you're good to go, man.
Dude, that is so cool.
And it's the same process for rehydrating it as Mountain House. So yep. Like you boil your water, which it's kind of cool. Like with a Mountain House, most Mountain House you're boiling, I think it's 16 ounces of water. With this, I do like 10. So okay. What I'm getting at is you're using less water.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is important because water is freaking heavy.
Yeah. Water's dumb.
I know. Right.
So dude, I'm really excited about it, man. I started doing it. I just got it and did it this spring, and I'm just like super pumped to not only like save money. You know, fortunately I get to go out a lot. But
that's huge.
On top of that, you're eating homemade dinner every night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
way
I know
better exactly, for you.
Yeah. I know exactly what's in that bag.
Yep.
You know? So, I mean, I just can't think of a better fuel to give yourself while you're out backpack hunting or wherever, even if you're just hunting from your truck, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty pumped, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's kind of a, I don't know, like a shout out to people to go start trying to do a little bit of your own things. Cause I mean, technically you don't even need a dehydrator. I mean, you could do some of that in the oven, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. And technically, I mean, let's go one step further.
Let's do it.
Technically, you pay for like, I'm talking about hunting. I'm not talking about dehydrating or anything like that.
Yep.
You don't have to eat like dehydrated meals. You can eat dry the whole time.
Yep.
Okay. Like it's literally like when I got into like backpacking and backpack hunting, I started looking at food so much different than when I was just at home, because it's like you're almost just looking at, like when I'm hunting and stuff, I just want to be full. I don't care. Like just like put the food in my body. I don't care what it is. Just give it to me. I don't want to be hungry.
Right.
I don't care if I'm eating the same thing over and over again.
You know what I mean?
It's
the worst feeling in the world to be out there crawling in your sleeping bag and being hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
This just sucks.
and as much like, I don't know if you've like tracked, I get nerdy about this stuff. Like, I don't know if you've like tracked how many calories you burn a day.
Too many.
It's absolutely like preposterous. So it's super, super important. Like I tell people, like, I don't even care if you're not hungry. Like you need to eat.
Yes.
You have to eat throughout the day or you're going to tank.
Yep.
So.
Cool, man.
Yep.
Well, we just covered a lot on gear about, you know, as far as food goes, stoves go, and everything like that, which is awesome because obviously without energy, you don't have a hunt. So that's super important. So what about your sleep system?
Okay. Yeah. You're excited about this.
I am, because I'm looking at the post right now, and it says it's going to rock a quilt this year, and I'm super excited to hear about this quilt.
Okay. So, I'll just do the pad first. Right now I'm running a Neo Air Trekker. It's not the lightest pad on the planet. I think it comes in at like a pound. It's a great pad, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's just average pad. I'm going to move to a Neo Air X Lite next month. Literally, before I got on the podcast, I was trying to order one. They're out of stock. So,
hold air pretty well?
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. It does hold air. And something that I think is kind of like people get confused with the whole air pad thing is don't blow that thing up if you would an air mattress.
Right.
Okay. Like you want it to have give in it. You know what I mean? It's like if you sit on it, like you should be on the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but when you lay flat, like it evens out and you're off the ground. And it's super comfortable. So, mine, I haven't had any issues with like losing air at all. So,
that's good to know.
Yeah.
What kind was it again?
It's made by Therm-a-Rest. It's a Neo Air Trekker.
Cause my Big Agnes was the opposite. I mean, great pad when it was full.
Yeah, the cute.
I don't know the exact name of the one I had. It had a goose down fill though.
Okay.
So it was super warm, but I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be like touching the ground everywhere.
Really?
Wow. You know, and then I finally put a hole in it, and then of course I was touching the ground. but before I put a hole in it, it would slightly leak air, whether it was in the seams or in the valve. I have no idea where.
Yeah,
you know, but
yeah.
It would slightly leak air enough that I'd wake up in the morning and I would be touching the ground everywhere, you know, which is not what you want.
We're going to get off on a tangent again.
It's cool.
Are you running a floor lift setup?
So I was running my Big Agnes sleeping bag. Sleeping bag is floorless. So you slide your sleeping pad into basically a sleeve, which...
Gotcha.
I've never done before.
Yeah.
Until this, but it's probably as close to your quilt as you can get.
Yeah.
But what's so cool about it is with that sleeping pad in there, in that sleeve, you can't roll off of it. And every time you turn, your sleeping bag never turns because it's connected to your pad, which is huge.
Yeah.
This last year, I actually just ran my Rainfly for a tent.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I just ran my Rainfly, and I propped up my my tripod, my spotting scope and camera tripod, to prop the Rainfly up, and that's what I ran this on my last elk and deer hunt.
That's pretty cool, dude. Like I've always been, I know some guys do it here, but dude, like floorless here, I'm just not, dude, rattlesnakes, scorpions, chiggers, I run a tent,
yep.
Like a fully enclosed ultralight tent, and I will, what, the reason I was asking if you ran floorless was because you told me like your pad got a hole in it, so like I was wondering if like your pad was directly on the ground.
So actually the time that my pad got a hole in it was when I was on the hunt with my 4-year-old son. I set his whole bed up and his pad, because when I go hunting, I'm carrying all his sleeping bag and his pad and all his food. I'm carrying all his shit and all my stuff, right?
Gotcha.
And so I lay out his pad and I lay out his sleeping bag and I go to start laying out mine. And I went to go step across mine, and I accidentally stepped on mine, and there was a rock underneath it. Because we were in we had seen a sow grizzly bear with two cubs, and a whole entire a whole bunch of wolves. You know what I mean? A whole pack of wolves.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be in a spot where I don't think these animals are going to come.
Yeah.
So that's where we were. And I went to go step across him, and I accidentally stepped on my pad, and a rock went through it. But,
oh, dude.
Yeah, and I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Now I have to sleep on the ground all night? Like, this is bullshit. But,
right.
But, you know, one that when I went without him, when I went solo elk and deer and just had my rain fly, that was the first time I have ever camped in a floorless shelter. Mm-hmm. You know, I have the Easton Kilo, and what I did was I just took the rain fly from the Easton Kilo, and that's all I took that, and I took the stakes, and I just utilized my tripod as the tent poles, basically.
Cool.
Which was cool. And that was, like I say, that and I actually had a lot of – I really liked it, to be honest with you, because you don't have to take your boots off. Just
– Oh, yeah.
You know, all kinds of pluses to that situation. So what I would say as far as you go, because I'm going to get a Kafaru sawtooth with the stove, because I'm looking at hunting late-season elk, which is in December – mm-hmm. in Utah, you know, and mm-hmm. I definitely want a stove. So, what I would recommend for you, if you're going to get a floorless shelter, I would just basically build a berm around the bottom of your shelter. It'll only take you about 15 minutes, but just push the dirt around mm-hmm. the very bottom of your shelter, because then the rattlesnakes and whatever
right.
else. You know, that's the first thing I say, because I hate rattlesnakes so bad.
Oh, I know. Dude, what's worse? I'm telling you what, have you ever had chiggers?
No, I haven't.
That's like murder.
Really?
Dude, it's really, like, okay, you can't even see them, okay? Like, and they frequent our bear country a lot in Arizona, and they come out, they're mostly out in the summertime, during bear season. I got bit so bad one time, I had literally, like, I had over 80 bites all over my body.
God!
And I'm talking all over my body, okay? Like, all the funny business and everything. So, and with that, dude, like, I literally, like, I had to sit there and, like, you can't itch it. Or else it's going to, like, turn into, it's going to get pussy. It's gonna get infected. So Vicks vapor rub, and salt together, and you put that on your bites, and the menthol from the Vicks will help like stop the itch, and the salt will help dry out the bite. So, but I had to sit there literally like and just not move, dude.
For you should check out Technew.
Technew?
Yep, Technew.
What's that?
It's a salve that you put on that's for like burns and bites and mm-hmm. Poison ivy and whatever else.
Yeah.
And I've had some of the free stuff, but I've never been in a situation where I need to use it, but it's supposed to be amazing stuff.
Technew, I'll have to remember that. Yeah, dude, because, dude, the chigger thing is, like, so after I got bit up, dude, I bought gators, I bought, like, all of the DEET, okay? Like, I would never go into bear country without, like, dousing myself in DEET.
Right?
Anymore. Like, I don't, and for everyone that's like, oh, yeah, but then you smell like DEET. Let me tell you something. I don't care how much scent elimination product you put on your body. If the wind is wrong, they're going to smell you. Like, plain and simple. Okay? So, like, I don't worry about the smell at all. I would rather smell like DEET than get absolutely annihilated by chiggers and mosquitoes.
Yeah.
So, man, we got off on a tangent. Okay.
So, floorless shelters. floorless shelters. We're back on subject. So I, you know, like I said, I never had used one. And okay. I am looking at ordering one as well as a stove because, man, I tell you what, not having to worry about your boots, not having to worry about all kinds of other crap, you literally set up the tent, throw your shit in there, and you can walk in, you can walk out, you can do whatever the hell you want because it's just dirt.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and it also allows you to have a stove, which is a huge perk when it starts getting colder, obviously.
Yeah, you know?
For sure. But, yeah, so what about this – tell me about this quilt.
Okay. So what the quilt is literally what it sounds like. You can run it – the one that I got is from a company called Enlightened Equipment.
Okay.
It's a 20-degree, 850-fill down quilt. It's 19.10 ounces.
Damn.
Yeah, it's really light, dude. Like, you pick it up and you're like, I was almost worried. Like, when I, like, it just, like, this thing's going to keep me warm? You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I don't want to cut you off, but that Big Agnes without a bottom is the same way, because when I went on the first backpacking trip with my son, I actually shoved my Big Agnes inside his backpack and he carried it.
Oh, cool.
Like, it is like, it's, you pick it up and you're like, there's nothing here. Like, I'm going to freeze my ass off.
Yeah. It works though, man. It does. So like how the quilt works is it eliminates, it's similar to the sleeping bag that you're talking about. It completely eliminates the bottom side of a sleeping bag, which for anyone that doesn't know, when you lay down on down, you completely do away with the insulation of it. So what's insulating the bottom portion of your body is the sleeping pad. Okay, so the science behind the quilt is and the one that I have has a foot box. Like, you can open it up completely, or you can close in the bottom, and it has a foot box just like a mummy bag. But the rest of it's open. Okay, so you throw the quilt over yourself, and the sleeping pad is underneath you to insulate the bottom portion of your body. And the quilt comes with I didn't know this before I bought it, but it comes with these straps that go around your pad, and they have little clips on them. Okay, so you can clip, because what people were telling me was like, oh, you're going to fall off, you know, your quilt's going to fall off of the pad. No, the quilt actually clips.
No.
Yeah.
You guys don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah. the quilt connects to your pad, so you don't have to worry about that. And with those little clips, you can actually set how much underneath you that the quilt is. Like, you can like roll yourself up like a burrito to insulate yourself better.
Okay.
Or if it's hot, you know what I mean? Like, you can open it up completely.
Yep.
You could sleep with one leg out, two legs out, whatever. Okay. Like, it's a lot like sleeping at home. So, I went with that because of how ultra light it is.
Yep.
It also, like, dude, it compresses way down.
Yeah.
So
how far down? Like a Folgers coffee can size?
No, and here's what I like about that, okay? When you, like, with compression sacks, you always get this odd shape, like you're talking about.
Yep.
It's like a ball, like a basketball or something, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just like really odd to put in your backpack.
Yep.
So what I started doing because of that, even before I got the quilt, I started just stuffing my sleeping bag in the bottom of my backpack with no sack.
Uh-huh.
At all. And just like shoving it down there, and it just fills in the bottom of the backpack like really nice. So But if I had to like tell you like an actual size, I haven't put it in a compression sack yet because I haven't had to.
Okay.
But I would say a little bigger than a Nalgene.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, locked like really small.
Yep.
So yeah, and it's been, I had it out, I got to test it out about a week ago on a turkey hunt, and dude, it was like, it was pretty cool. It was awesome. I was, after using it one night, I'm like, yeah, I don't have to worry about not being warm.
Isn't that great? That's a good
Yeah.
feeling. And it breeds confidence, you know? And something that you might look at is a Kafaru stuff sack. And the reason is because Kafaru stuff sacks, rather than compressing vertically, they compress horizontally.
That's cool.
And that's a huge deal for packing your pack. So what I do is I take my Big Agnes and I blow up my sleeping pad and I stick it in that sleeve and I set my tent, well, my rain fly, on top of it, and then I obviously let the valve out and I roll that entire thing up and I shove that into a small compression sack for Big Ag from Kafaru, and I just pull those five strings as tight as I can get them. And that thing's, it might be as big around as a 6-inch pipe by the time you're done.
That's cool, dude.
Right? So you literally have your sleeping pad, your sleeping bag, and your shelter all in a 6-inch by 18-inch stuff sack.
That's bad. That's awesome, dude. I didn't, I never thought about that. Like putting this all together.
Yeah, I just put it all together because the only time you're gonna need your shelter or your sleeping bag or your sleeping pad is all at the same time.
That's true. Very true. Very
Yep.
true. Yep. So
So
yeah, pretty pumped on the quilt, man. So
it looks sweet. It really does. And really, the quilt, from what I can understand, isn't really. Basically, my Big Agnes is a quilt because there's literally no floor.
it's the same science without the freedom.
Yep, exactly. I have to have a sleeping pad in that sleeve or I'll freeze.
Yep, for sure.
Well, sweet man, you know what? Like I say, I seriously appreciate you hopping on the show tonight. We'll hop on another time when we haven't been on for almost 2 hours.
Right.
And we'll do some stories from the red zone or something like that. But I really appreciate you taking the time. It's an hour and 40 some odd minutes out of your evening, so I really appreciate that. And like I said, anytime you want to come hunt Wyoming, you just let me know and I'll make that happen. I'll tell you where to help you figure out where to apply and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I just really appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you so much, Zach, for having me on, man. It's been a blast. Anytime you want me to come on, just let me know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for tuning in to the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, 1-star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show.
Be on the lookout for 5 new weekly podcasts.
Monday is our main show. Tuesday is Journey to the Podium. Wednesday is our live podcast, as well as the previous week's live podcast recording. Thursday is Stories from the Red Zone, Tips and Tactics, and Gear Review. And Friday is Bobby D. Wiggles. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lambers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.